for Lita White jump right into the fray last year when she left Baltimore County to become the superintendent for Roanoke City Public Schools in time for the academic year that began with everyone learning from a home. Now, this time, all students in grades K through 12 will be back in the classroom, but wearing masks, at least at the start and through the first 9 weeks or until further notice. Now, she joins WFIR anchor reporters Ian Price and Jay Morano along with me live in studio this morning. Verlita, it's nice to see you. Thank you for coming.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning, Verlita. There seemed to be some confusion in school systems about the new state law, Senate Bill 1303. We just mentioned it in the C block. That said, the safety precautions to be taken in return for five-day in-person classes would follow the most current CDC guidelines. Now, how did that bill change Roanoke City Schools' approach, if it did at all?
Yeah, it didn't change our approach. We had planned for safety and health mitigation strategies all along. So we actually made an announcement, even just prior to that announcement, that our goal is to prioritize in-person instruction. So we don't want anything to jeopardize that. We heard loud and clear from parents and from our students, quite frankly, last year, that they wanted to be in school. We know we have a segment of students who do very well virtually, but the majority of our students want to be in person. So we wanted to do everything that we can to prioritize in-person instruction. And for us, that means if that means we have to wear masks, then that's what we'll do to keep our kids in school.
You know, Verlita, I'm just wondering, I've talked to at least one school board director here. They sort of were caught unaware of the legal ramifications of SB 1303. Were you guys up to speed on what the law meant, that it would follow the current CDC guidelines, or did that kind of catch you unaware at all?
No, we've always been aware of Senate Bill 1303. And so, you know, we have state superintendents meetings and we have regional meetings as superintendents as well. And so we tried our best to keep up to date on what's current and what's going on. Certainly when the health commissioner makes the change, then we follow accordingly. But that announcement came as a little bit of a surprise. So to the board members' point, that one was a surprise, but we had already made the decision prior to.
Mm-hmm. So all students and staff must be masked up. Are there any exceptions for anything?
No, regardless of vaccination status, because we do know that people are getting another double dose or they're getting COVID again, even after they've been vaccinated. So we're just being very careful so that we can keep our kids in school.
What are you hearing from parents and staff? Are you getting any pushback at this point?
No, I've gotten a lot of thank yous because, again, it is the most wonderful time of the year. People want their kids in school. And I think if they had to choose, and we're giving kids breaks through the day. I mean, when they're exercising or when they're eating or when they're outdoors, then they can remove their masks. And so we're being realistic and trying to be as flexible as we can while also keeping our kids safe and our staff members as well.
We're speaking with Roanoke City School Superintendent Verlita White live in studio. As far as mandating vaccines, they're not mandated for teachers and staff. Was that ever considered?
Absolutely, it was considered. It's something that we've thought long and hard about. But we know that some of our teachers who have not been vaccinated have medical reasons why they cannot do so, or maybe they have religious reasons why they can't do so. So again, we want to honor our staff, but we also want our staff to be vaccinated. So the majority of our staff members have been vaccinated, and where there are exceptions, we're trying to be understanding about that as well.
As far as like non-vaccinated staff, how often are they going to be tested for COVID-19?
Well, again, if they're exhibiting any symptoms at all, any type of cough or sore throat or fever, certainly then they would need to contact our employee health office, and then we would have them go directly into kind of a quarantine so that they are not near our students and other staff members. And then they would have to be tested before they can return.
All right. Verlita White is the superintendent at Roanoke City Schools. You start back on the 24th?
We do, on Tuesday.
I have a friend who's teaching at Forest Park, and she's told me she's already prepping, but the 24th, I think. any idea how are you going to assess, Verlita, any learning loss? Now, the kids did wind up coming back to school, yeah, I think, a couple days a week in the spring on campus. And I think learning loss is something you do after every summer.
Sure.
But how are you going to assess that, see where the kids are at, and how are you going to catch them up if they need catching up?
Yeah, we did some preliminary assessments even over the summer when we had our CPS Plus this summer. But again, that was a little spotty in terms of getting a general assessment. This year, what's new this year is that we are engaging in what we're calling MAP assessments, which is the measure of academic progress, and so and or measures of academic performance. And so every student will be tested right at the beginning of the school year. And it's not this long, drawn-out assessment. It's not an event. It is part of instruction because we don't want to impede on the instructional program. But we do need to know where our kids are exactly. And so just like we would do every year, we'll assess them just to see where they are, and then we can tailor the instructional program to them. We do something. We have our classroom assessments every year anyway, but this will give us a broader system-wide view of how our students are doing and the levels of loss that we're talking about.
Just a real quick follow-up. I'm wondering when they started coming back, you know, last year, a couple days a week, did maybe your teachers find that it wasn't as bad as maybe someone thought? I'm just wondering if you that maybe the virtual learning did a better job than some thought it would?
Well, preliminary results, especially from the summer, suggest that kids are still pretty much reading on grade level. And we do have a significant work to do in mathematics, but I believe we had some significant work to do anyway in mathematics. So we know now where we need to target and tailor our instruction. So I am asking all of our teachers to have students read, have them write and discuss relevant content in every subject every day. Every teacher is a literacy teacher. And so we want them to read, write, and think and discuss relevant content in every subject every day. That's how we'll move the needle on student performance.
Okay, we're speaking with Roanoke City School Superintendent Verlita White. If the Delta variant or some other COVID-19 variant forces students to leave school, would Roanoke City change their approach to virtual learning after 2020? Were there any like big lessons that you took away that you're like, all right, we would do that differently?
Well, first of all, the main lesson that we learned is that we have to be forward thinking and we have to think ahead. And so I'm so glad that we did that. So last school year, we invested in bipolar ionization units for each of our buildings, and we invested in HEPA filtration systems, not only in for our schools, but also for our school buses, so that whatever respiratory kind of disease or illness would come our way, even kind of the flu, we're trying to filter the air so that we can avoid having our students kind of go out. But if we need to, we also know that we needed to invest in the technology and the Wi-Fi systems that would keep our kids connected. So we've already done that. So should we have to pivot on a dime like we did in 2020, then we're set and ready and able to do that.
I have a question about, and you're probably thinking, man, I wish they had approved the vaccine for the younger kids for the summer. But let's say it gets approved in the next month or two, Verlita, which is a possibility. Is the school system working with the VDH on an action plan to set up vaccination clinics in the gym or at the Berglund Center or something to get as many of these kids vaccinated, the younger ones, as possible?
Sure. I mean, we'll just follow suit with what we've been doing. We've worked directly with the VDH all along. I believe that there are vaccination clinics even this week for students who are 12 and up and for our staff members as well. And so should the vaccine become available, I would assume and that we would do the same thing, that we would work closely with the VDH to do whatever we can to keep everybody safe and to get as many kiddos vaccinated as we can.
All right. Let me ask you, you gave the convocation message yesterday.
Yes.
What was your message this time around?
Well, you know, last year we had to rise to the occasion of and really kind of face COVID-19 head on. And there was a lot of uncertainty with that. And I believe that our community members, our parents, our students, our teachers certainly did do that. They exceeded our expectations. They absolutely rose to the occasion. This year's message is that we're going to stand united. We'll stand as one. We are one as a Roanoke City community. You know, we can't do this work in isolation. We can't do it without our parents and without our community members. And one thing I've learned about Roanoke is that we pull together as a community. So I would just ask the community to stand with me, to stand united, and stand as one as we serve our children.
Verlita, are there currently any plans to treat student athletes differently than students in certain instances, especially with, like, say, track meets and things like that, games happening?
Well, we're going to ask our athletes when they are on the sidelines that they would be masked because they will be really in close proximity to one another. Certainly outdoor activities, they don't have to wear their masks. But when they are indoors and when they are on the sidelines that they should be masked. But when they're on the court, we understand that there are some breathing restrictions for them. And so we are allowing them to remove their mask. We'll keep everything sanitized, keeping all of their equipment sanitized, and doing everything that we can to allow them to breathe freely, but to also keep them safe by keeping them masked when they're in groups or huddles and that kind of thing.
I'm going to talk with Superintendent Verlita White from Roanoke City Public Schools. Just a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, the move eventually downtown to the old Roanoke Times building,
What's
that going to look like? How long is that going to take? And what's that going to do for you?
So when I first came to Roanoke City, I realized that we did have some inequities when it came to our career and technical education programs for our students. Certainly, we have a wonderful road tech program on the grounds of Patrick Henry High School. But we didn't have, and we don't have anything on the other side of town, which means that many students have to lose an elective in order to travel across town. So when this opportunity came available, we thought, okay, we can shift some things because right now we have central office staff in our Ruffner building, which is on the grounds of William Fleming High School. It's adjacent to. So by having this opportunity ahead of us, we're able to create a Rotech at Ruffner program, and then we'll also be able to combine our offices into one central location downtown. So it'll be three phases over 3 years. We want to move carefully, methodically, and be fiscally responsible along the way.
By opening up a Rotech center at Ruffner, get more kids maybe interested in trades, things like that, they can start thinking about earning a living,
Absolutely.
What they want to do.
Absolutely. It's career and college readiness. So again, I think it'll benefit the businesses in the region because we'll be growing our own right here in terms of kids who are interested in not only criminal justice, but cosmetology, barbering, landscaping, welding. So we're really kind of growing our own workforce right here in Roanoke City. And so we can have job fairs right on site. And then we're also able to create a community empowerment center in the current administration building where we can hold those job fairs and career fairs for teachers and for our students so that they can work right here in the city. And then we can strengthen our city as well.
All right. Verlita White is the superintendent of Roanoke City Public Schools. We're going to have to let you go. We could have probably talked for another 10 minutes, but thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.